The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. In the miraculous age of Christianity, the first century, the apostles could work miracles. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. These apostles could impart miraculous powers to others. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17 says, Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. The miraculous manifestations of the Spirit are set forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The miraculous enabled people to do certain things like prophesy. The fruit of the Spirit, though, involves the way people live. There were 9 manifestations of the Spirit, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. As there were 9 manifestations of the Spirit, there are 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit has 9 characteristics. This fruit may be classified under 3 headings. 3 look upward to God, 3 look outward to others, and 3 look inward to self. The 3 characteristics that look upward to God are love, joy, and peace. Love. God should be the object of love. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to 40 says, But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophet. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, We love him because he first loved us. Love for God moves one to obey him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, If you love me, keep my commandments. Love is the motive that prompts one to faithfully serve God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, we read, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or twinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Verse 13 says, And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These 3, but the greatest of these is love. Another characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that looks upward to God is joy. Salvation from the Lord brings joy to the heart. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 46, we read, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Chapter 8, verse 5 of Acts. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, If thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 16, verse 29. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. God's people are exhorted to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The hope of eternal salvation gives Christians a joy unspeakable, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The third characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that looks upward to God is peace. Salvation by God's grace brings peace from God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who make peace with God obtain the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is not at the mercy of external circumstances. Stephen was being killed, but he still had peace, as we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he had said this, he fell asleep. Paul could sing while a prisoner in the Philippian jail. Acts 16, 23 to 25, we read, And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The next three characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit look outward to others. They are long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Long-suffering means to suffer for a long time. We should be willing to suffer a long time in teaching and trying to reach the lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and our trust are also manifest in your consciences. If we're going to persuade men, we have to be long-suffering. We have to take some time and put in some effort to be able to persuade them. We need to be long-suffering in an effort to get along with each other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 2 says, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We need to be long-suffering and resisting temptation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 and 4 says, For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The second characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that looks outward to others is kindness. Long-suffering endures wrong, kindness overcomes it. God's people must be kind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15 says, Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The third characteristic that looks outward to others is goodness. Goodness is uprightness of heart and life, according to Thayer. According to Vines, goodness signifies not only merely goodness as a quality, rather it is goodness in action, expressing itself in deeds. God's people are to do good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The last three characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit look inward to ourselves. They are faith, meekness, and self-control. Faith or faithfulness. Christians have built into their characters a quality that causes them to be reliable. We need to be reliable or faithful as parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 to 4 says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We need to be faithful as employers. Colossians 4, 1 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." We need to be faithful as employees. Colossians 3, 22 to 24. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And we should continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." The second characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that looks inward is meekness. Meekness literally means strength under control. The meek are submissive to God's will. The meek are teachable. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." The meek are considerate of others. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And the last characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, the third of which looks inward to self, is self-control. Self-control is a contrast to many of the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, rash strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The body must be controlled. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so fight not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." And as the body must be controlled, the mind must be controlled. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought